Good morning, everybody. Two comments I want to make at the outset. I think that it's very, very commendable that the day after Purim you come out to learn. It's an exhausting day, a very beautiful day, but an exhausting day. And even more than that, that I come out to say a shir is very, very commendable. I'm aching, moaning, groaning, but Torah must continue. I met with my friend Rabbi Nachman Kahan upstairs, and he asks me, were you mechadish anything this year on Purim? So I said, yeah. And I told him, he said, that's your shir, that should be your shir. He said, you know, I wasn't even thinking of saying that in today's shir. But I'm beginning to think that it may in some way be related to today's shir. Today's shir is going to be on the Haftorah of Parashat Parah. This coming Shabbos is going to be Parashat Parah, and we will explain all about it. But what was it that I was mechadish? I like the Chabad gives out this every week a book for the parasha called Dvar Malchus. Anyway, it has the entire Kriya Satorah there, it has Daf Yomi, it has the Rambam for the week. Don't ask, anything you want is there. Of course, prominently is the Tanya for the week. Anyway, so I saw a nice vort over there from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The vort, it's one of these fascinating questions that the instant you hear the answer, you know that it's so obvious. It should have been obvious to begin with, and that the answer is so good. What am I talking about? There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. Comes from the Gemara Masechta Brachos. Arba tzrichim lahodos. There are four people who have to thank God. And they have to bring a korban todah, a todah sacrifice, a thanksgiving sacrifice. They are all outlined in Tehillim, I think it's chapter 107. Hodu Hashem, Kitov, Kilon, Chazdal. Who are they? Those who, one who was ill and was healed. Those who go down to the sea in ships and they arrive safely in port. Those who cross deserts and they arrive at the other side safely. And then one who had been imprisoned and is finally released from prison. These are the four. Of course, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that anything similar to any of these, in the sense that it was a life-threatening situation, or could have been a life-threatening situation, you make a bracha. The Tur, Rabbeinu Yaakov Bal HaTurim, first edition of the Shulchan Aruch, said that these four, you can find in the word Chayim. The word chayim, life, is a simon for each one of these four. The ches stands for chovush, somebody who was imprisoned. The yud is for, one yud is for yotzon mibei, no, that was chovush, yordei hayam, those who go down to the sea in ships. Who else? And well, who is the other one? There was the Chola Shen Isrape. That's the...
Maybe the
Chet. There are different approaches to it. The Rebbe said that the Ches stands for Chola. The Yud stands for Yisurim, somebody who came out of prison. It also refers to Yordei Hayam. The Mem is Midbar. Mem is the one who was crossed through a desert. So these four are the ones that have to bring a korban todah, and they're all symbolized in the word chayim. So the Rebbe asked, of all things, all of these tzaddis you find symbolized in the word chayim, life? something seems to be out of order over here. But his answer is so good. He says, when these people have passed through their crises, their appreciation of life is infinitely greater than it ever was. The one whose life has been endangered by illness and finally he's healed, does he appreciate every precious moment of life? One who's been imprisoned and then finally he emerges. Everything he sees around him, the birds, the sun, the clouds, everything, the whole world is beautiful. Beautiful, nice, simple thought. So I wanted to apply this to something I had said a few years ago. I say that in the name Amalek, four letters, Ayin, Mem, Lamed, Kuf, right? Amalek. In the name Amalek, we have all of the mitzvahs of the day of Purim. If you want a simple listing of all the mitzvahs of Purim, you have the word Amalek. The Ayin stands for Al HaNisim. You want to say Aniyim, that's also good. Al HaNisim. We thank God for everything he's done for us. When you come to the Mem, Akamana, Mikra Megillah, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Le'evyonim, in the word Mem, you have the reading of the Megillah, gifts to a friend, gifts to the poor. You go to the Lamed, a person is obligated, libesume bepuria, to be happy. Lechol, lishtos, lisod, eat, drink, have a festive meal. All of these are the lamed of Amalek. The kuf, vei the kuf. Again, kriyat ha-megillah, reading the Megillah. Kriyat ha-Torah, reading the Torah. And what ultimately became the essence of Purim Day? Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem. The Jews accepted upon themselves all of Torah. So I can ask the same kasha that the Rebbe asked on the word Chayim that represents people who've gone through such terrible crises in their lives. Amalek, this is what I'm saying, that the word Amalek represents all the mitzvahs of the day of Purim. What an incongruous thing. You understand Amalek? So I say, no. The antidote to Amalek, the way in which we are going to wage war with Amalek, the way in which we are going to overcome Amalek, is going to be through the mitzvahs of Purim. It begins with Al HaNisim. Al HaNisim means that I understand fully that the Rebbein Shem runs this world and that he does indeed do miracles and wonders for his people. What did Amalek do when they came out to the desert? A whole world trembled before a Jewish people that had come out of Egypt and had crossed the Red Sea, and they wanted to, as Rashi says, Asher korcho baderech, they wanted to cool down the ardor and the fervor of a whole world for God. And what are Amalek? Amalek represents the depth of profound, ugly hatred that tears peoples apart. But no. We're going to have Mishloach Manot Ish L'Dayehu. We're going to have Matonot L'Vyonim. We're going to do the mitzvahs that bring together a people. And by our unity, we're going to stand up against Amalek in all generations. What more is there, of course, than reading the Torah, accepting upon ourselves the totality of Torah, Kimu V'Kiblu, all the things that I have read into the four letters of Amalek, which represent the totality of all the mitzvahs of Purim. In those four letters, you have all the mitzvahs of Purim. Because those four letters, with everything that they represent, will ultimately bring about the destruction and the defeat of Amalek. That's all. Some of this may become important later on in the course of this shira, maybe even right now. We're going to read Parshas Parah. The Shabbos after Purim is usually Parshat Parah. the Shabbos of Rosh Chodesh Adar, or the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, is Parsha Shkolim. Shkolim because in the days of the... I'll tell you something nice. I always try to say something nice. All right? The Mishnah says, Mishnah in Masechet Shkalim says Be'echod Be'odar, on the first day of Adar, Mashmin al Hashkalim. They would announce in Eretz Yisrael that people should begin to bring their half shekel to the places where they were being collected. The half shekels were brought to the Beit HaMikdash and they were used for sacrifices. I was Rosh Chodesh Adar, I was at a wedding in Chadera. You're wondering, what in heaven's name does this have to do with anything? So I'll tell you, we're driving back late at night from the wedding, and we want to get on to Krishesh. Police are standing there, it's blocked. Where are we going to go? I don't know, they tell us, you just go. So the fellow who was driving me, I was in somebody's car, it seems they have a number on their phone that you can check with the very latest information from the police. So puts it on. You start hearing the list of highway after highway in the country that is blocked. All over, they're blocked. They're doing work on the highways. They were making repairs on Kvish Shesh, on Kvish Arba, on Kvish Shalosh, on Kvish Echad. We had to go dray all around until finally someplace near Kfar Saba, we were able to get onto Kvish Shesh, and then even there we had to go to 443 instead of Kvish 1. So what am I telling you? So you're thinking, what am I saying this? I was sitting in the back of the car, and I said, listen, Be'echad Ba'adah, the Mishnah says, on the first of Adar, Mashmin al Ashkolim, you let the Jewish people know that they should bring their shekel. And you know what the next thing the Mishnah says? Umetaknim et hadrachim. You have to fix the highways that have potholes in them from the whole winter. And soon the Ole Regal are going to have to make their way through Eretz Yisrael in order to get to Yerushalayim. So I said, and what was even more fascinating is I said the first sentence in the Mishnah, Be'echo Be'odah Mashmin al Hashkolim, and there was a woman sitting in front of me in the first seat, and she's the one who said, Umetakni Met Hadrakim. Oh, wow. You understand? You've come a long way, baby. This woman knew Mishnayis. Umetakni Met Hadrakim. So, you understand? Mika Amcha Yisrael.
Goyechad Ba'aretz.
They knew, or at least we can think that they knew, that the Echad Ba'adar is the time for all the highways. It was unbelievable. We're listening, and then we checked with other people by phone. Yeah, they're also having difficulty how to get around. I met people the next day who had come from the wedding. Oh, what they had to go through in order to get back home. All right. So that was Shkolim. That comes before or on Chodesh Adar. Zohar, we always know, is immediately before Purim. The one that comes usually after Purim, unless Purim is on a Thursday or a Friday, it's going to be Parashat Parah. And what's the basic meaning of the idea of Parah? Of course, we're going to have to bring the Korban Pesach, and a person who has been defiled by contact with a body has to go, a dead body has to go through a process of purification. And that process of purification requires the ash of a red heifer, that its ashes are mixed with living waters and they are sprinkled. It's one of those halachas in Torah, of course, that is known as Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the statute of Torah, one that the nations of the world don't understand, and we don't understand. But we, despite that, we keep it. Yeah, that's an indication that we accept God's law. not everything that's has to be understood rationally and logically to us. But there, of course, are messages that Parashas Parah gives us. The message of Parashas Parah basically is that there is nothing as depressing and as agonizing as looking at a body, a dead body. Being in the presence of death is obviously something that can overwhelm somebody with a sense of helplessness, hopelessness. There's no point to it all. No point to it all. There's no point to life. But no. The Para Aduma is going to express the idea that there is renewal, there are living waters, there's a purpose to everything. And the process of Para Aduma, in a sense, is to overcome this depression, this sense of uselessness and hopelessness that one is met with at the time that he sees a body. We're going to explain this a bit further. And you're going to see how this will be understood through the Haftorah. The Haftorah is going to explain it. So on its simplest level, we have to get ready for Korban Pesach. We have to purify ourselves. The next of the four great Shabbatot, the special Shabbatot, is Parashat HaChodesh, of course, which precedes Chodesh Nisan or happens on Chodesh Nisan. Let's take a look at the Haftorah, then we'll take some of these ideas and we will elaborate on it. It's in Sefer Yecheskel. It's chapter 36. It's Pasuk 16. It begins on Pasuk 16 in chapter 36. Now you have to understand that in chapter 36, and I'll give you an opportunity if you want to take the chance. My most favorite Pasuk in Tanakh is Yecheskel chapter 36, verse 8, a few psukim earlier. Does anybody have an idea what that pasuk could be? And when I say that pasuk, I usually go with a hand motion like this. Va'atem horei Yisrael, and you mountains of Israel, anpechem titenu, give out your branches, ufer yechem tisu, and carry your fruit. La'ami Israel, for my people Israel, ki kervu lavo, because the time of their return is arriving. The Navi is saying that the land of Eretz Yisrael is going to know in its neshama when Jews are getting ready to return. And a land that did not produce any significant kind of food for a period of 2,000 years is going to start blossoming in anticipation of our return. Awesome, we saw it in our own days. We bear personal witness to the truth of that great prophecy of Yecheskel, that Eretz Yisrael is going to know when we're coming back, and therefore it will become fruitful. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Rabbi Abba Omer, Ein Choketz Megula Mizu, there is no greater revealed end of days than this. When you see Eretz Yisrael giving out its fruit, then you know, you can hear the footsteps of the Mashiach. It is on the basis of that pasuk that I said one of the great things that I've said in my lifetime. And maybe it'll be the greatest that I've said in my lifetime. But don't take that. That's okay. Okay? I said on the basis of that pasuk that if you want to speak to God, you go to the Kotel. If you want to see him, you go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. The fruits and vegetables, the wealth of produce is clear indication, the Gemara says, that we are in a process of redemption. There are ups and downs in the process of redemption. It gets a little bumpy along the way, but it's definitely going to happen. And the proof is right over there. I have that proof every morning when I cut up my cherry tomatoes for breakfast. My mouth is already watering while I cut them. It's a Gemara. It's a Pasuk in Yechezkel. This chapter. Now let's pick up from there and see what Yechezkel says. By heat for Hashem Eli, Lemor, the word of God came to me saying, Ben Adam, son of man. He's the only one of the prophets who's referred to as son of man. And some of the fortunes say because Yechezkel saw visions of such sanctity and such holiness. He saw what takes place in the heavenly court. So he wanted to be told, wait a minute, never lose sight of the fact that you're a mere mortal. You have been given the opportunity to see awesome scenes of God's grandeur in heaven, but Ben Adam. Beit Yisrael Yoshim Alav Matam. First half of the first half is going to be talking about the past. The house of Israel, they're living on their land. Bayitamu Ota. And they defiled, they contaminated land Bedarkam in the ways that they went Uba'ali Lotam and with their deeds. Ketumat Hanida. They contaminated land like the contamination of a woman who is Nida. That's what their way was before me. Now, by the way, the idea that the Navi, in the name of God, describes the contamination of the Jewish people as Tum'at HaNida, the Tum'at, the woman who is Nida, happens to be a message of great hope. What it really means is God sees our defilement as Tum'at HaNida. Now, how does the husband feel when the woman is Nida? He waits with great anticipation for the day that she will be able to purify and cleanse herself and the two can return and join one another again. That's exactly how God sees the defilement of the Jewish people. He waits with anticipation. When will Klal Yisrael and God be rejoined again? And where will they be rejoined? You'll see. It's going to be here in Eretz Yisrael. Watch it all. Watch. Because they defiled themselves, I poured out my anger against them for the blood that they had spilled in the land. With their idolatry, they made her impure. So what did I do? I scattered them amongst the nations. And after I scattered them amongst the nations, they were dispersed amongst the lands. They went out into exile. They went to Bavel. And from Bavel, they ended up in other countries in the world. Until ultimately, there were Jews all over the world. God says, I judge them fairly, justly, according to their ways and their deeds. Now, the English here translates it, and they came to the nations to which they came. What's wrong with that translation of Pasuk 20? And they came to the nations to which they came? Vayavo is a singular. It's not a plural. Vayavo means, and he came. El Hagoyim Ashebo Shama, to the nations where they came. And he came where they came. So the Medrash says that Vayavo over here is not talking about the Jewish people. It's the great he with the capital H. God followed them out into the exile. He went there to watch over them. Vayavo, and he came El Hagoyim, to the nations Asher Bo'u Sham, that they came there. Medrash makes it very clear. God follows the Jewish people wherever they may be. Shechinta Begaluta, the divine presence, is in exile. Anochi eireid imcha mitzrayma. God says to Yaakov in Beersheba when he's on his way down to Egypt, Anochi eireid imcha, I'm going to go down with you. Anochi eilcho gam olo, and I'm going to go up with you. I'm going to be there with you. I'm not going to abandon you to the nether world. Imo onochi bitzora, David HaMelech says, Imo onochi bitzora, I am with him in the time of his travail. Yeshayahu says, Bechol tzoratam, in all of their oppression, lo tzar, to him he is oppressed, God is with us, because the enemies of Israel are his enemies. Vayehi ben tzoah ha'aron, vayomer Moshe, Kum Hashem, v'yofutzu oyevecha, v'yonusu misanecha miponecha. Your enemies and those who hate you shall be dispersed from before you. Who are the enemies and the haters of God? Rashi says, kol asone v'yisroel, whoever hates Israel hates God. All right? So now, I came, he came amongst the nations Hashabosham by Yechalu et Shein Kodshi. And they desecrated my holy name in the exile. They desecrated my holy name. Very, very important to know what this means. How did we desecrate God's name? Let's finish the pasuk. Vayichallu, and they desecrated my holy name. Be'emor lahem, when they said to them, Am Hashem Ela, this is God's people, who may arzo yotso, and they went out of his land. Now you can learn that they desecrated my holy name. We acted improperly, we did wrong things, we did averas. Now the Medrash says, you know what, this, you have to read this pasuk, and it's simple meaning. The simple meaning is the presence of Jews in Chutz Laaretz is Chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. And they had to leave the country because he couldn't protect them here. The very presence of Jews in Chutz Laaretz, this is Chilul Hashem. It's Yecheskel saying, do me a favor, don't anybody think that I'm pulling my Zionist shtick over here. I'm just learning the pshat in the pasuk as Chazal learned the pshat in the pasuk. That's all. And if I'd be giving this shiur in Flatbush, I'd learn the pasuk the same way. Okay, they got scared. Okay, so God goes on to say, "Vo'echmol al shem kodshi," but I would say compassion for my holy name. Asher chilulu beis yisrael, that the house of Israel has desecrated it. Bargoyim asher bo shom, amongst the nations that they came there. I just want to make one little comment, a very important comment. And when learning Yechezkel, there's something about the style of Yechezkel that is different than all of the other prophets. The style in Yechezkel is repetitions. This pasuk seems to be, in great part, a repetition of the pasuk before. That's his style, like a refrain, you know? A refrain? Give me an example of a refrain. You know, either a sentence that repeats itself in a poem, or, you know, Hodol Hashem ki tov ki levon chazda. The Shliach Tzibbe says, Hodol Hashem. We say Hodol Hashem. Yom Anah Yisrael, Hodol Hashem. He has constant refrains. Lachem. Therefore, Amor LeBeit Yisrael, say to the house of Israel, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim. This is very important. This is a fundamental principle of the Hashkafa of our time. Lo leman chamani Yosef Beit Yisrael, it is not for your sake that I'm doing this, house of Israel. Ki im l'shem kodshi, I'm doing what I'm going to do for the sanctity of my name. Asher chilaltem bagoyim, asher batem sham, that you desecrated amongst the nations that you came there. You're coming there. That God's people, you're the only people on the face of this earth that are dispersed all over the world were not able to maintain themselves in their own land. This seems to be like God can't keep his own people in his own land. That's a Chilul Hashem. So I have to rectify the situation. And I'm going to rectify this situation for my sake. That's extremely important. You know why it's important? It's important because it means, therefore, that whatever is taking place in our time is for God's sake. And if it's for God's sake, it's eternal. Not going to change. That's the way it's going to be. History has changed. Things are different. And you're going to see a very fundamental principle of Hashkafet that's going to emerge from this chapter in Yechezkel. But long again, let's go. I am going to sanctify my great name that has been defiled amongst the nations. You see it again, another repeat, another refrain, that you desecrated in their midst. The nations of the world are going to know that I am God. The Hashem Elokim. So has spoken God. I will be sanctified through you before their eyes. They're going to take a look around, and the Navi is going to spell out what they're going to see. But basically, they're going to be amazed, overawed. Jews returning, building communities that were desolate. The land is bursting forth with produce. The Goyim are going to see this. Ah, this is no longer Chilul Hashem. This is going to be Kiddush Hashem. Now watch. I'm going to take you from amongst the nations. The kipatz the etchem mikol haratzot. And I'm going to gather you in from all of the lands. And I will bring you to your land. So you're going to say, what are you talking? You bring a whole bunch. You're bringing a million Jews from Russia that don't know an olive base, you understand? And you have all these around here that don't know about Shabbos. They don't know about Kashrus, you understand? They don't know how to get drunk on Purim. With these guys, you're going to build a Yiddish Medina. So the Rebbe Hashem says, I am going to sprinkle upon you the waters of purification. Ah, this is, of course, the most significant relationship between the parasha. Parashat Poro, we're going to read. The Maftar is going to be Parashat Poro, which is Parashat Chukat. And how does the purification take place? When the Kohen sprinkles the waters of the Poro Adum upon the one who is defiled. God is going to be the Kohen Gadol, the biggest Kohen Gadol of them all. V'zorakti aleichem, I'm going to sprinkle upon you pure waters. Utahartem, and you will become pure. Yes, siri. Everybody is going to be a Shemesh Shabbos. Everybody is going to eat kashers. It's going to be a Jewish people in this great land. And more than that, v'hasiroti et lev ha'evan mibsarchem. I'm going to remove the heart of stone from your bodies, from your flesh. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh and blood. What a promise. What a guarantee. Now, these last two psukim, do they bring anything to mind? Is there any association you can make with these last two psukim? You're all going to say, oh, how didn't we get that? V'hitzalti, v'go'alti, v'lokachti, v'heveiti. I'm going to, the four expressions of redemption. I'm going to take you out of Egypt. I'm going to remove you from their work. I will redeem you. I'm going to take you onto me as a nation. And then ultimately I'm going to bring you El Admatchem to your land. Let's read it again and you'll see. It's a replay, but not a replay. This is a play of future redemption. Just listen to it. Taking you out of Egypt, I'll bring you to your land, and I will sprinkle upon you the waters. But wait, there's a fifth. The fifth. What is the fifth? And there's going to be more. When God starts pouring out His blessing. Oh boy, is it an outpouring of blessing. V'natati lechem lev chadash. I'm going to give you a new heart. V'ruach chadasha eten b'kirbechem, and a new spirit I'm going to give into your midst. V'hasidot teat lev. I read that right. V'hasidot teat lev heaven mibsarchem. V'natati lechem lev chadash. V'etruchi eten b'kirbechem. I'm going to put my spirit into you. V'asiti, and I'm going to make it. That you're going to go in my statutes. What's the Torah reading? Zot Chukat HaTorah. You're going to follow even those parts of Torah that you may not understand. Umishpatai tishmeru v'asitam otov. And my statutes, you will watch and you will do them. Wow. The Yishavtem Ba'aretz, and you're going to live in the land Hashem Atarti Lavotechem that I gave to your fathers. The Yitem Li Lam, and you will be unto me a people. V'anochi Ayel Lochem Lelukim, and I'm going to be unto you as a God. More! V'hoshati Etchem Mikol Timoteichem. I'm going to save you from all of your impurities. V'korati El Adogon. I'm going to call to the grain. V'hirbeiti Oto. And I'm going to give you, I shall increase it. There will no longer be famine. And I shall increase the fruit of the tree. And the produce of the field. You should never again suffer from the shame of famine amongst the nations of the world. Why? Unbelievable. Uzichartem et darkeichem. Yes.
Does that mean that Am Yisrael cannot do tshuva on their own, but Hashem must let them do the tshuva?
The question that was asked, does it mean that Israel cannot do tshuva on their own? They need God?
To do it for them?
First of all, you know what? Maybe yeah. Maybe yeah. We see from the Nevi'im, we see that God is going to create either the atmosphere or the... He's going to do things that Jews will have no choice but to say, take a look at what's happening. In other words, he's going to do things in the world that are going to anybody who thinks will have to see that something is going on over here. I never cease to be amazed by all the problems that are overwhelming nations in the world today, and the country that has suffered more than all others. If there's ever a country in which there should have been uprising and here, and there are, take a look. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I'm reading the psukim here. I don't believe. I'm afraid. Wait. Okay, I'm going to say it. There will not be a devastating earthquake in Eretz Yisrael. I said it. Can't fit in with these people. I'm bringing you back, and I'm going to pour out my kindness to you. That's what's being said over here. Yes?
Well, I wanted to say, with going back to the not having famine in Israel, it amazes me that in the last 6 years of drought, there hasn't been any lessening of this beautiful stuff in Machne Yehuda.
That's all. You're right. You know, I'm ashamed to say that I didn't think of it myself. We're in the sixth year of a drought. You know, I think it's, I'm getting a little feeling, you know, in my bones that there's going to be another big downpour before the winter is over. Yeah. We're doing okay. What I think is most important about this chapter is, and it will become more intense as we go on, if we would be learning this chapter 70 years ago, 80 years ago, we would have looked at it as, Yemirtz Hashem, someday. And you know what? We're reading it now, when the someday is now. It's here. This is awesome. And we have to keep pinching ourselves to understand that that's what's happening. And watch what Yechezkel is going to say. Yechezkel is going to describe to us how the nations of the world are going to look at us. And when I see how they look at us, if they don't hate us more than they ever hated us before, they should certainly hate us now. A non-political statement. There's never politics in this class. Never. Yes? Oh, okay. Let's go. Let me just... You want to say something? Yeah, go ahead.
The UN is showing exactly what you're saying.
What?
We are reading it, and we know it refers to us.
Yes.
And we see it, and they read it in whatever language, and they know it, and they see it, and that's why the UN committees are voting against us.
Okay. She skirted the outer edge of a political statement. Okay. Let's go. Well, look, it's too beautiful, the psukim. And you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that are not good. This is a beautiful word. It's a difficult word to translate. In your own eyes you will feel loathing. How could I have done those terrible things? Take a look at what God is doing for us now. How could I ever have rejected him and not gone in his ways? You're going to be loathsome of yourselves about your sins, your abominations. Lo leman chemani yose. Here is another refrain. I'm not doing it for you. Where else do we have this refrain? Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu ki im lekshim chotein kavod. That's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. Not for our sake, do it for your sake. Yivad alachem, you should know this. Boshu vihikomu midarchichem beis Yisrael. Be ashamed and humiliated because of your ways. Karma Hashem alakim, so says God. Beyom tahari etchem, on the day that I'm going to purify you mikol avonotechem, from all of your sins. Vahushafti, this is it, watch this. Vahushafti et ha'orim. I will cause the cities to be established. Hoshafti, there are going to be people living in the city. V'nivnu ha'choravot, and the ruins are going to be rebuilt. V'ha'oretz ha'neshama, and the land that was so desolate. Te'oved, they're working the land. Tachat asher haita shemama, in place of the fact that it had been desolate for 2,000 years. They're working the land. Le'enei kol over, in the eyes of everybody who passes by. People come to this country. Sarah Palin had it right. We don't owe anybody any apologies. What are we apologizing to the whole for? What for? That we're living? That we're here? V'amru, and they're going to say, this is the main point. I think I've said about every pasuk that it's the main point. So this is more main point than them all. V'amru, they, the nations of the world are going to, they're going to say the following. Wow! Ha'aretz ha'lezu ha'neshama. This very land that was desolate, Haitarka Gan Eden, has become like a Garden of Eden. They're going to be able to see it. I had somebody in my house yesterday. I got very, very, very upset with him. Very upset. But it was a benign kind of upsetness. He tells me, everything is terrible here. Everything is so bad here.
Who said?
Somebody was in my house. I'll tell you who it is. What it wasn't Netanyahu and it wasn't Shimon Peres. Somebody who came to my house to drop into the rabbi's house for Purim. It's so terrible over here. So terrible. Kukach among them, Shugana. So we decided that he needs it. But there is a personality or a religious bent that nothing is ever good enough. Nothing is ever good enough. There are people who will complain about what's going on over here from the day that they're born until the day they take them to Har HaMeruchos. They are just, nothing is good enough. It's a terrible, terrible way to look at things. Yecheskel over here is going to tell us, Yidden, you want to know how the Goyim are going to look at you today? I'm going to tell you how. And then you better know how to look at that situation. All right, I can't say over everything he said. He aggravated the kishkas out of me, but I survived it. I survived it. They're going to say, Ha'aretz ha'lezu ha'neshama, this land that was desolate, ha'itaki Gan Eden, it's become like Gan Eden. How many times have we said, I told you already a lot of times, that I want to take, I want to be the one to take Mark Twain by the hand and walk through Emek Yisrael with him. And Mark Twain will say, Ha'aretz ha'lezu ha'neshama, this desolate land has become like Gan Eden. What a beautiful passage. And the cities that were destroyed and were desolate and were ruined shall be fortified. I mean, cities have risen from the ruins. What are you talking about? What was Ashkelon? What was Ashdod? Dimona didn't even exist. Two, 3 weeks is going to be Shabbos HaGadol. I visited Dimona Shabbos HaGadol in 1956. There was no city yet. There were little butgalach on the sand dunes. 300 people, new Olim from Morocco. A mamish on the desert, on the sand dunes. They plunked down little houses. Take a look at what's happened. Who? Somebody say something? Huh? Okay.
Ashdod also, 1956.
What did she say?
Ashdod.
Ashdod, okay.
Same thing.
Anyone you were there with, mamish, nothing but sand dunes. Sand dunes. Even Akko was nothing to talk about. Afula hardly existed. We're talking about cities that... Navi says it. Ve'ha'orim ha'charevos, the desolate, destroyed, shattered, ruined cities, b'tzurot yashavu. Ve'yadu ha'goyim ha'shei yisharu svivoseichem. Yecheskel is living in our midst right now. And the nations shall know, those nations, ha'shei yisharu svivoseichem, who will remain amongst you, around you, they will know, ki ani Hashem, I God. I built the shattered and ruined cities. Baniti haneherasot. Natati haneshama. I'm the one who planted that which had been uprooted. Ani Hashem dibarti. I, God, have said, basiti, and I've done it. And we're zeicha to be around, to be able to say, Yecheskel, you're right on the mark. We see it. We could never have learned this chapter in Tanakh in the same way. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, could never have learned it. We're learning a chapter in Tanakh that we are eyewitnesses to history. You know what the whole purpose of the Haftarah is? The whole purpose of the Haftarah is because the Parsha is talking about death. and the Haftorah is talking about life. There's another place where Yecheskel says, in the name of Jews who were living at his time, Avda Tikvateinu. Those words weren't made up by Hertz Ingber for the HaTikva. It's in Yecheskel, where Jews are saying to Yecheskel, they see what's happening, and it's so, Avda Tikvateinu, all hope has been lost. Of course, that tikva says, Odlo Avda Tikvateinu. Not yet. That's what the Sedra is death, and the Sedra is saying that there's purification from coming into contact with death. There is life after death. That's the Sedra. The Navi is saying what the Parsha had talked about on the individual level, Yecheskel was talking on the national level. There is life, pulsating life, after what seemed to have been death. No wonder the very next chapter in Yecheskel is going to be the vision of the dry bones. And I think we read that on Chol HaMoed. But wait, we're not finished with the Haftorah yet. Svardim conclude the Haftorah here, Ashkenazim continue. I don't know why the Svardim stop there, but I certainly know why the Ashkenazim continue. We continue with the next two psukim. Koramar Hashem Elokim, so says God. Od zos idoresh lebeit Yisrael. I will make myself accessible to the house of Israel. La'asot lehem, there's something else I'm going to do for them. Arbe otam. I'm going to increase them. Ketzon adam. I'm going to increase them. Small people, I'm going to increase them. Like Shepsalach. Because the fact is, this is also something that appears in all of the Nevi'im, but even more in Yecheskel, where he uses the metaphor of God is the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Dovra melech, Hashem roi, lo echzor. What did Moshe say? Before he dies, he says to God in Parashas Pinchas, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you have to appoint somebody of the community. You can't leave the Jewish people katzon, asher ein lehem roe, like sheep that don't have a shepherd. There was an earlier chapter, chapter 34, what a beautiful chapter, where God describes what he's going to do with his shepsalach that are dispersed all over. He's going to gather them all together. The one that has a broken limb, he's going to put put a cast on them. He's going to tend to all of his shepsalach. What were our avos and what was Moshe Rabbeinu? They were shepherds. They're shepherds. The idea of God, the great shepherd in the sky, the one who takes care of his people. So what Ozos, there's one other thing I'm going to do for you. I'm going to increase you like Shepsalach. Not like plain Shepsalach. These are holy Shepsalach. Kitzon Kodshim. Like sheep that are holy. Kitzon Yerushalayim b'moadeha. Like the sheep in Yerushalayim anyantif. Here we have another relationship with Parshas Parah. What are they preparing for? Why are Jews purifying themselves? Because they have to bring the Korban Pesach. Can you imagine how many Shepsalach there were in Yerushalayim before Pesach? There most probably were more Shepsalach than there were matzahs. Everybody, every family, you had to have a Shepsalach. That was the Korban Pesach. Tzon Yerushalayim b'moadeh is a description of masses of sheep in Yerushalayim on Yontif. Kain tihiyeno ha'odim ha'charevot, so shall be the cities that were destroyed. They're going to be malei otzon adam. Not only Yerushalayim, they're going to be full of human beings. How many? Like Shepsalach. Just imagine, millions. The Yadu, and they, who's they? The Goyim are going to know Kenei Hashem that I'm God. They are going to know. They're going to be amazed. They're going to be amazed. They're going to be horrified. They're going to be terrified. But ultimately, this is going to be... this is what the Gula is going to look like. There's no question about it. Anybody reads this today, we're in this, we are in this process. What was it, the great Nevuah of Zechariah? Oh, Yeshu Zakenim, Uzakenos, the elderly men and women are going to sit, that's us, in the streets of Yerushalayim, and our Einiklach, you understand, Yeladim Yeladot Misachakim B'Rechovotav, boys and girls playing in the streets. I mean, we see it before our very eyes. Avi Berman tried to get to my house yesterday in Haranof. He couldn't get through. Haranof, the streets of Haranof were like the LIE during rush hour. It was unbelievable. Thank God I stayed home. I didn't go out. I didn't venture out into the streets of Haranof. Not me. Okay. The Haftorah is talking about the national rebirth, rejuvenation of Klal Yisrael. It's the message of great compassion. The Yodu, and it's all intended that the Yodu HaGoyim, the nations of the world, are going to know Ki Ani Hashem, that I am God. And we have a ringside seat to history. We are watching it right here. Our Bubbas and Zaydas could never have learned this chapter in Yechezkel in the same way that we do. They could have read it in the hope that someday maybe we'll be Zaycha, or our Einiklach will be Zaycha. We are the ones who are Zaycha, and therefore we have to be able to see, despite problems, there are problems all the time, we have to be able to see the broader, the bigger picture. The bigger picture is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Yodu HaGoyim, the nations will know Ki Ani Hashem, and especially in a period of such crisis as we live in this Middle East, you understand, somebody is going to get the picture that we emerge as an island of sanity surrounded by a world of madness. Good sentence? Rabbi Kahn has said it was a good sentence. Yes, oh wait a minute, yeah.
For a fantastic picture of nature, I recommend people go to the Israel Museum.
Go where?
Which museum?
The Israel Museum?
No, the Botanic Garden.
The Botanic Gardens. That's a very good idea. The Botanic Gardens. Well, I look on my porch. I have two porch. Well, you know, the porch. I look out at the porch. If it looks good there, then the Botanic Gardens must be amazing. I think that's an excellent idea. Maybe the Israel Center should have a tiyul. By the way, the last time I went to the Botanic Gardens, it was on an Israel Center tiyul, and I enjoyed it immensely.
Thank you very much for including this in this magnificent day we had yesterday.
Kate Ruth, thank you very much. The show is over.